This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Matt Gaetz for Attorney General. People are up in arms. We will discuss it at length. Congressman Chip Roy is here. We'll ask his opinion of it. Michael Knowles joins us. And the economy, it's kind of bad, and Peter St. Ange needs to explain what's happening. All that's coming up on I'm Right. Okay, so let's have a talk about Matt Gaetz for Attorney General. Since the news has dropped that Donald Trump's pick for Matt Gaetz as Attorney General, the world has been on fire. The political world has been on fire. You have half the people, this is on the right, forget about the left, we'll get to them, but half the people on the right are freaking out. He's not qualified, this is crazy. Everyone on the left is freaking out. This guy's insane. Half the people on the right absolutely love it. This is exactly what we need. So allow me to just lay it out for you here as clearly as I possibly can. And I should probably put a little warning label on what I'm about to say. If you are a Matt Gaetz lover or a Matt Gaetz hater, you will probably be offended by something I'm about to say, and I don't care. That's just kind of how I do it. I speak directly, so here's what it is. Pause on that. Let me tell you a little story, because this is going to apply to what my opinion on Matt Gaetz. This little brief story here. One of the last things I ever did with my old man before he passed away recently is we went fishing. And we got a guide, nothing fancy. He was just a local guy, Louisiana guy. We were trying to catch some redfish. So we go out on the water, me, dad, sons, we're out on the water with this guide. And we know this guy. He's a friend of ours. And the guy starts talking about a major problem he had had in the past few years with his son. His son, 16, 17 years old, had basically lost his mind, as young men tend to do, started boozing it up, grades went down, running with the wrong crowd, really, really started going bad, on a really bad path. And it got so bad to the point that one night his son backtalked his mom, dad stepped in, son threatened to beat dad up. And after that, dad, mom got together and said, what's happening to our boy? We're losing our boy. We have to do something drastic. He's on a bad path. We have to do something drastic. And so what they did, have you ever seen these reform-type boot camps? Not military, but they're very much military styles. They'll take kids who've been in trouble with the law, or you can sign people up for these boot camps where they'll take you away and they'll just make your life miserable for a while to straighten you up. They really, really turn kids around. This guy went and found one of those. He hired him. 3 a.m., he goes to the front door. He lets in these two huge drill instructor type guys. They go kick in his son's door. The kid was shaking. He was so afraid. Dragged him out of his bed in the middle of the night and hauled him off to boot camp, where he lived a life of hell for a couple months, scrubbing toilets with the toothbrush, screamed at, you know, the works, boot camp. You know where that kid is now? Straight A's. Back to being an elite athlete. Life completely turned around. Back on the straight and narrow. That's a true story. Why do I like Matt Gaetz? Well, I'm here to tell you right now, I find Matt Gaetz to be completely obnoxious most of the time. I don't think he's somebody I even want to have a beer with. And that's the exact kind of person we need to take over a DOJ that is destroying the United States of America. If you are on a bad path in life, whether you're a business, a DOJ, an individual, you oftentimes need disruption. And disruption is uncomfortable. It makes you squirm in your chair. It doesn't feel good to send a couple drill instructors into your son's room and snatch him out of his bed and send him off to hell for a couple months. That sucks. It's hard. It's miserable. We have a Department of Justice that has declared war on the American people. From pro-lifers to Donald Trump to angry school board moms, what has taken place within the walls of the DOJ in just the last 4 years alone, it's not bad, it's not partisan. If you study history at all, it's positively horrifying. It's how countries turn into murderous, tyrannical dictatorships. That's how evil the Department of Justice has been. And the Department of Justice, if you will pardon my language, needs an enema in the worst possible way. I don't want nice, I don't want polite, I don't want a gentleman, no more Jeff Sessions types. This is exactly what I want.
I take no lecture on asking patriotic Americans to weigh in and contribute to this fight from those who would grovel and bend knee for the lobbyists and special interests who own our leadership, who have, oh, boo all you want, who have hollowed out this town and have borrowed against the future of our future generations. I'll be happy to fund my political operation through the work of hardworking Americans, $10 and $20 and $30 at a time, and you all keep showing up at the lobbyist fundraisers and see how that goes for you. I reserve.
You hear the booing? I'm going to explain something to you. You might not like that. Maybe that kind of talk makes you uncomfortable. I don't know whether it's courage or whether he's just one of these people like me that genuinely just doesn't care about what people think about him. But to stand up on the House floor and criticize how 90, 95% of those people handle their business and to call them all a bunch of corrupt scumbags to their face, that's gutsy. And that kind of disregard for being liked by the people around you is exactly what we need to reform things and maybe save this country and shake things up. I understand the people out there, the Matt Gaetz haters, who say he's this, he's not that, he's this, he's not that. I totally get where you're coming from. I do. But please hear me when I tell you there is no comfortable way. There's no nice, polite way to turn around the life of the 16-year-old boy who tries to beat up his father. There needs to be a severe disruption, a severe realignment that makes everybody uncomfortable. And there is no nice, polite way to walk into the Department of Justice that has declared war on you and turn things around. Can't we do it politely? Don't we have a senator who's very nice and his suits really look good on him and he's got gray hair? Seems like my grandpa. We've done that and nothing changed. Nothing happened. We need a bull. We need a rabid dog. That's what we need now. Do I need to remind you what Merrick Garland and Jack Smith just tried to do to the political opponent of the President of the United States of America?
Mr. Garland, why Jack Smith? Why'd you pick him?
I appointed somebody who was not a political appointee, somebody who was an independent, nonpartisan, with a record of career experience as a prosecutor.
Do you regret the pick?
I'm sorry, can...
Do you regret picking him?
No, I do not regret picking him.
Well, prosecutors aren't supposed to tamper with evidence, and it looks like that's what he did. He changed the sequence of the documents that he seized from Mar-a-Lago.
I'm sorry, that's a false characterization, but that is ongoing.
Here's what he said to the court, Mr. Attorney General. There are some boxes where the order of items within the box is not the same as in the associated scans. I mean, he said it. I didn't say it. He told the court that.
Now you're asking me to comment on a discovery dispute that's ongoing in a court. I don't know the facts of it, and I'm not going to comment on it.
No, this is from Jack Smith filing with the court.
Jack Smith was turned loose by the Attorney General of the United States of America to prosecute Joe Biden's political opponent. I know we know all these things and they've kind of been baked into the cake by now, but that action alone should land Merrick Garland and everyone involved in prison. the Department of Justice, under Merrick Garland's direction, the Department of Justice threw a hissy fit after Roe versus Wade got overturned, and they dug up an obscure law, the FACE Act, and used an obscure law to hunt down pro-lifers using FBI SWAT teams, and little old ladies are rotting in prison right now because Merrick Garland got mad about Roe versus Wade being overturned. This is banana republic. This kind of crap happens in Venezuela, in some Middle Eastern dump that has a dictator. This stuff is happening now in the United States of America. So please spare me everybody getting the vapors, Lisa Murkowski getting the vapors about Matt Gaetz.
I don't think it's a serious nomination for the Attorney General. We need to have a serious Attorney General, and I'm looking forward to the opportunity to consider somebody that is serious. This one was not on my bingo card.
Oh, she's not alone. Reportedly, senators' jaws hit the floor when it was announced.
You could literally hear the jaws dropping to the floor of Republican senators who are now going to be in a position to stand up to Donald Trump in a way that they have been unwilling to. I mean, listen, Matt Gaetz is dangerously unqualified, but that's not the worst of it. Gaetz has been Trump's chief defender when it comes to Trump's assault on democracy, his attempt to overthrow the government on January 6th, and he has openly called for the abolition of law enforcement agencies if they don't get in line with conservative political priorities. This is going to be a red alert moment for American democracy.
That's exactly right. It's a red alert for all the dirty commies in the DOJ. I have heard your concerns. I understand your concerns. I am here to tell you we cannot nice our way out of this. We can't polite our way out of this. Every now and then, if things are bad enough, your kid needs to get hauled off to boot camp to straighten out his life. Things are so bad within the walls of the Department of Justice, we need a disruptor that will walk in there with no regard for how people think about him, with no regard for making friends in Washington, D.C. We need a pit bull to walk in there and start biting everyone. If you want to feel better about this, allow me to leave you with this before we go to Congressman Chip Roy. Picture Matt Gaetz standing in front of a room of communist lawyers at the DOJ who've spent their time arresting pro-lifers and school board moms. Picture Matt Gaetz standing up there in front of all of them and telling all of them you're fired. Sign me up for that. It doesn't matter that I don't want to be friends with him. He's exactly where he's heading, exactly where he needs to be. A place where he can shake things up. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Congressman Chip Roy is going to join us in just a moment. Speaking of pro-lifers, the federal government obviously has taken a very clear side on this issue, and it's the side against life. So what do we do? Well, it was never up to government. Yes, a win here and there is nice, but it was never up to government. It's about changing the heart. It's about changing our culture. How do we change that? How do we change hearts? Well, these young women who are about to kill their babies, they need to know it's a baby. I know that sounds simple to you and me, but it's not so simple for them. So how do you do that? You give them a free ultrasound. That's what preborn does. They set up these clinics in the highest abortion areas of the country, and they give free ultrasounds to these young ladies who are about to make the worst decision of their lives. And when a young woman hears that heartbeat, she chooses life almost every single time. The ultrasound is how we change the heart and the culture. Help preborn do it, and it's tax deductible. You know that? $28 buys the ultrasound. You give them whatever you want. Give them $28,000 if you want. I don't care. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn. We'll be back.
Hey there. I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I love Massey. He's going to be the AG. Suck it up. Joining me now, one of the great people we have in Congress. Of course, you know him on this show, Congressman Chip Roy of Texas. Okay, Chip, there's a lot of people screaming, a lot of people happy about the Gates pick. No one's talking about Pete Hegseth or Tulsi Gabbard. I guess we can get to those in a moment, but Gates is most definitely out of the box. He is wild. That's really what I like about him. Frankly, I think he's an obnoxious human being, and that's what I love the most. I want him to go blow everything up in the DOJ. What say you?
Well, I've worked closely with Matt, as everybody knows. We were working together, obviously, through the whole debate last year and the year before about the speaker and the rules on the floor. And I've agreed with him at times, disagreed with him at times. We were working to change the rules. Last year when he vacated Kevin, I actually disagreed because we were trying to work through some of the arrangements, but that's fine. I'm generally for, I'm going to use this metaphorically, violence, political violence. I'm generally for that kind of, disturbing the entire culture here in Washington that Matt's good at. And that's what I was saying yesterday, is you need somebody who's willing to completely blow up the Department of Justice, you know, all the way down to the ground, and then start back up. And same with all the other agencies, right? And whether you're Tulsi or whether you're Pete over at the Pentagon, we need people who are disruptors, are unafraid. And frankly, I don't really care about all of the drama. You know, people today are so, they get so wrapped around the axle, you know, about, you know, some specific thing or allegation or whatever. At the end of the day right now, the country needs massive, quick, disruptive leadership, or the country will not survive. And that's it, plain and simply. And Massey's correct. Suck it up.
What do you handy? I know you won't have a say in this because you're in the House, not the Senate, but where do you handicap his odds? We've already got the standard senators, you know, Collins, Murkowski, getting flimsy on us. Everyone saw that coming, but you think he actually is going to get through?
Well, look, I think President Trump's going to have him sitting in the spot. I think he's going to have him as the attorney general one way or the other. I think the question what the Senate does, we'll see. I mean, look, here's what I'm going to say. The president, generally speaking, Democrat or Republican, deserves deference, certainly from its own party, on the nominee. Doesn't mean you should just, you know, rubber stamp it. I certainly wouldn't vote for their commie nominees that they put forward, and we should oppose, you know, all of them. The Republicans should be supporting the Republican president's nominee absent something really extraordinary. And that doesn't exist here. And so at the end of the day, I think he will likely get confirmed absent something, you know, I don't know about. But Matt's somebody who you know you can count on to actually totally gut and reform the Department of Justice. So why would we not allow the president his selection of the person he wants to do that? That's my general question. And look, I'm one that calls balls and strikes. You know that. I call balls and strikes with President Trump. with other people, with my colleagues. I don't give a crap. I just call it like I see it. And I want somebody to just rip that thing apart, root and branch, because it has been massively, massively abusive towards the American people. Take the FACE Act. There are elderly people in jail for simply carrying out their religious beliefs and protesting and exercising their First Amendment rights to protest abortion. Think about that. And it's unbelievable. We have somebody who survived an Eastern European gulag who's now facing being put in prison because of their beliefs. That's this Department of Justice. It's been weaponized against the people, and it needs to be gutted and taken all the way down to the studs and rebuilt. And I think Matt can do that.
Amen. Let's move on to a couple other detailed matters that matter. We have Elise Stefanik gone. We have Matt Gaetz gone. Mike Walls gone. A slim majority in the House is getting slimmer by the second. Is this a point of concern, or is it not something you're stressed about?
Well, I mean, look, I think we're somewhere around 221 or 222 before you lose the people you just mentioned. I think we're going to have some window in the early part of the year where we're down to 218 or 19. So we're going to have a 4 or 5 seat gap, which means you can only lose a couple of people to flip to the other side. Look, I think we're all going to be trying to work to get to consensus to deliver on President Trump's agenda. Yesterday, there was a bit of a kerfuffle because some of our colleagues were putting forward amendments to the rules to target us, to punish us if we dare break on a rule vote. But look, my election certificate is for 750,000 Texans. I report to them, to God, and the Constitution, and no one else, period. We need to come together, work together to be able to advance an agenda. And I think we can do that if we start with the policy and start with what President Trump's trying to do. But, you know, we're going to have to continue to have the conversation here to do that. The reason Mike Johnson was selected yesterday was because a general agreement was struck to have the moderates, if you will, sit, you know, stand down and not offer those amendments to punish or target any of us if we dare break and vote against a rule. We want to retain our power to be able to shape the agenda. We think we'll shape that agenda towards what President Trump wants to do. But we're going to have to come down and figure out how to deliver with a narrow majority. And I can tell you, it doesn't start with the swamp tactics. It starts with the people and those who want to deliver the MAGA agenda.
Okay, let's talk about this Mike Johnson thing then. There are a lot of people, myself included, who have not exactly been enamored with what he's done since he's taken over as Speaker. But I understand it is a different world with a GOP president, GOP Senate, allegedly. Are we expecting a better version of Mike Johnson from now on?
Well, here's what I would say. I think we're working through the process right now, yesterday and today, to try to get us united. I think Mike's got a lot more work to do between now and January 3rd to get us there. He's got to demonstrate that he's going to have the right people sitting around the table to make the right decisions about how we execute. I'm not going to get everything I want. That's fine. I understand that. But I don't want the swamp to just do what it always does and stand in the way of what President Trump wants to do. Let me be clear, Jesse. There are already members of this body, this Republican conference, talking about amnesty. There are already members of this body talking about that we can't have E-Verify in the HR2 bill. There are already members that had signed a letter saying they won't repeal the Inflation Reduction Act. There are already members who are talking about we can't get too harsh on spending cuts. I could keep going down the list. And I'm telling you, we're going to have a moment where President Trump, along with those of us who want to fight for the MAGA President Trump agenda, are going to have to come together to demand that we execute. I hope the Speaker will have those of us in the room necessary to work this out early so we don't have to have those fights on the floor. But if we have to have those fights on the floor, we damn well will.
You know who would be nice to have in Congress right now? A gentleman by the name of Bob Good. It would be nice to have Bob Good there, but Bob Good was primaried out of his seat, sadly. Andy Harris, who I do like, is the new head of the Freedom Caucus. What's the status of the Freedom Caucus, Chip? Is it getting stronger, weaker? Is it stagnant?
Oh, the Freedom Caucus is strong. The Freedom Caucus has got a great group of people. We're the same group of people that we've had. A couple of changes here and there. We've got some new people come in, a couple who've left. I agree with you. I wish Bob Good was staying. Andy Harris is a good friend. And we're working to, look, it's a complex environment right now. We're trying to give deference to the president and his building out his agenda. We're trying to get organized. But the Freedom Caucus's role has always been to stand up and guarantee that we're going to be able to execute our rights as members and that the leadership can't roll over us. That's why the Freedom Caucus was founded. It was, I don't want to say democratize the House. That's a kind of a overused term. But it was to guarantee that my election certificate carries as much weight as the election certificate of the Speaker of the House. Because I can promise you, my 750,000 Texans that I represent, particularly the Republicans who elected me, but all of them, they expect me to represent them. I don't represent my colleague. I have to work with my colleagues to deliver for my constituent. So the Freedom Caucus exists for that reason. On that score, I don't think we've ever been stronger, but it will be a bit of a dance. I got to be honest with you about working with, figuring out how we're going to deliver on the president's agenda when we need to know what that agenda is and build it out. Two-way street. We have a duty, separation of powers of the House, to get out there in front and start moving our agenda. We just need to make sure it's married along with what the president wants to do so we can achieve it.
Chip, finally, Pete Hegseth. Look, I'm doing backflips over this. It's outside of the box. It breaks up that good old boy network. I suspect I know how you feel about it, but how do you feel about the whole Pete Hegseth for SecDef?
You know, I first met Pete 20 years ago when he had just come back and he had, I think, gotten out of active duty. And he was starting a nonprofit. This is before he got into the media and over in Fox. And he's a good guy. Again, I've known him for a long time. Will Kane, who's a good friend of his. I know Will. He's a Texan. Pete has, I think, the right attitude. And that's what's important. The worst thing we could have done was put forward one of the usual old guard that want to come in and do whatever all the defense contractors say so we can perpetuate endless war. But he's a veteran himself. He obviously fought. He knows it, just like you, Jesse. That's good. He has a real feel for what it meant to wear the uniform, but he's not going to be a sycophant for the defense industrial complex. He's going to go represent his boss, the president of the United States, and he's going to go, I think, stand up for the men and women in uniform and not all of this woke crap that the brass that have been pushing down. Those guys need to all be wiped out. They need to be just taken out. And I think Pete can do that. Look, I think Tulsi's going to be able to do that over in national security. I think we're going to have some good reforms in other areas. Again, I mean, Tom Homan over at the White House's border czar. I'm excited about a lot of the appointments. I've been one or two I'm not really so sure about, but most of them have been pretty good appointments, and we'll see how this all unfolds. But yeah, I think Pete will do a good job.
Congressman, as always, thank you, sir. Appreciate you. All right. Michael Knowles is going to join us next. Before we talk to Michael Knowles, let's talk about putting our money where our morals are. You see, when you have a cell phone service, we all have them now, it's probably best if you don't pay a company who hates your guts and hates your country. You don't have to pay Verizon to dump on your country. You don't have to pay AT&T. You don't have to pay T-Mobile. Pure Talk is there. Speaking of veterans, Pure Talk is veteran-led. Vietnam veteran is the CEO of Pure Talk. Pure Talk cares about veterans. Pure Talk doesn't give to Black Lives Matter and Planned Parenthood, and your bill will go down. You keep your phone, you keep your number. Switch. PureTalk.com/JesseTV is where you go to switch. It's easy. You'll get to speak to an American who speaks English. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hearing from people inside the DOJ right now about what this Gates pick would mean for the future of the department.
They are absolutely horrified, Anna, and that's not an exaggeration. And they're not speaking by name, but I'll just tell you that John Bolton, who's one of the most conservative figures in Washington, who served as Donald Trump's national security advisor, just said in the last hour that this is the worst nomination for a cabinet post in American history. It's just mind-boggling, and it takes up much of the attorney general's portfolio, that national security part of it that we don't usually see because much of it is secret. And it's an incredible responsibility, and Matt Gaetz just doesn't have anything in his resume that would suggest he's prepared for that. And then you have this other side where he's threatening to blow up the department and has accused it of being corrupt. And he actually has said he believes that Merrick Garland has ordered the FBI to investigate Joe Biden's political opponents. If you believe that, then you might believe that you can do the same thing as attorney general. That's not what happened, but Matt Gaetz appears to believe it. And there's a real fear inside the Justice Department that he or people like him would order investigations where there was no predicate, where there was no crime.
Yes, that is exactly what happened. Merrick Garland is an evil piece of trash who should be in prison the rest of his life just for what he did against pro-lifers. And yes, the DOJ is corrupt and awful, and it is hilarious watching John Bolton criticize anybody because that guy's been a piece of crap for pretty much his entire adult life. Joining me now is the host of the Michael Knowles Show. You may have guessed it. His name is Michael Knowles. Michael, I love it that Matt Gaetz is impolite. And to be totally honest with you, like I said in the opening of the show, I think Matt Gaetz is freaking obnoxious. And that's exactly what we need. Just some bull in a china shop to go in and make everybody miserable. I love it.
I think this pick was brilliant in a number of ways. The first one, though, which very few people are talking about, is you'll notice we're not talking about Pete Hegseth anymore. We're not talking about Tulsi Gabbard anymore. We're not talking about some of the other Trump picks that I think were terrific picks, but that had generated a little bit of controversy. Trump, who is a master of politics, obviously pulled off the greatest comeback in American history, got elected for president the first time he really ran for it. President Trump, I think, has really done a trick here because, one, it's getting a lot of his other cabinet picks and top picks to go through more easily. But two, it's focusing attention, not even on Matt Gaetz, but on Merrick Garland. Because any accusation you want to make against Matt Gaetz is, I don't know, he's too political. He would not allow Lady Justice to be blind. Oh, yeah? You mean like he would send federal agents in to spy on Catholic parishes and he would go arrest pro-lifers in front of their seven kids for praying at an abortion clinic? Oh, yeah. You mean like all the stuff Merrick Garland's done? He would wield the Justice Department to attack his chief political enemies? Oh, yeah. You mean like Merrick Garland's done? Anything you want to say about Matt Gaetz, the decisions of Merrick Garland over the past 3.5 years have been far more egregious.
No, they are, and we can't forget about that, Michael. Honestly, the part I love the most about it is people within the DOJ are afraid. And to be honest with you, I don't disagree with you on the strategy thing. I give him a coin flip chance at getting through confirmation. We don't have a huge majority, and the Senate is where any principles go to die. I don't know, handicap it. Does he get through?
Well, he might get through. It depends on if President Trump is really going to force these recess appointments. But I think even there, the issue of pushing the recess appointments is another brilliant piece of political strategy from President Trump. You saw when Matt Gaetz was nominated, he immediately resigned from Congress. So he burned the boats. He's going full steam ahead. This is a great show of confidence. And now President Trump is going to be entering office by putting even Senate Republican leadership on its heels. Senate Republican leadership has never been known for being the most rock-ribbed conservative group in the United States. So President Trump already is forcing them to take sides. He's beginning his negotiation by talking past the sale. He's throwing out everything. Matt Gaetz, recess appointments. So even if they pull it back a little bit, okay, Mr. Trump, we'll give you Matt Gaetz, but just please don't do it through a recess appointment. Okay, great. Trump gets exactly what he wanted, and it's because the man's a good negotiator.
Let's talk about Tulsi Gabbard. Obviously, lifelong Democrat Tulsi Gabbard has been very vocally anti-establishment recently. I don't love her. I don't hate her. I love the idea that somebody with an axe to grind against our evil intelligence community is now going to be kind of in charge of the intelligence community. I like it a lot.
Yeah, I think it's a great pick. I'm very pro Tulsi. This is a good spot for her too. Someone asked me if Tulsi Gabbard were qualified for this, and I thought, well, she's got military service. She's served in Congress. She's obviously a thoughtful woman, and she's come to conclusions that were politically difficult for her, but it led her to switch parties. So I think she's got a ton of credibility on all of that front. I also think it helps that she's a woman because the DNI has to be rather organized. You know, you're bringing together, what, like 18 agencies or something? You got to organize all of that. So I think Tulsi is actually a phenomenal pick all around. I don't really see the criticism of it. This is something that Trump has done well with some of these appointments, is even for controversial appointees, he's putting them in positions that are really good for them. He made this point at his rallies at the end of the campaign. He said, look, we love Bobby Kennedy on health. We love Bobby Kennedy on big pharma. We don't like Bobby Kennedy so much on energy and oil and natural gas, so we're not going to put him over there. We're not going to put him at the EPA. We're not going to put him in charge of drilling. We're going to put him at the places where we can all agree. I think even someone like Mike Waltz, who's not the most right-wing Republican when he was in Congress, but he could probably make a pretty good NSA. Domestic policy is not going to matter with NSA. And I think here with Tulsi, the fact that she is skeptical of some of a lot of corruption within the deep state and within the intelligence agencies, DNI is a perfect place for her.
You know, I know you like the fact that she's a woman, but that is actually the part that concerns me the most, having a woman in any position of power or leadership. Doesn't that concern you, Michael?
Well, I thought, Jesse, speaking to you directly, I thought that by making this point on organization, that I might be able to make it past your virile facade. But apparently not. I have failed at that endeavor.
Well, best of luck to you and yours. Michael Knowles, thank you, brother. I appreciate you very much. All right. We have a lot of economy talk. Peter St. Ange is going to join us in just a moment. Before we get to Peter, I want to get to sleeping well. I love to sleep. There's just nothing like waking up in the morning and knowing it's going to be a good day because I am rested and ready versus not feeling like that. It's the worst feeling in the world. Dream powder from Beam is what you need in your life. You will sleep good every night, and you don't wake up groggy and tired and miserable, and that's the difference because it's natural. Not a bunch of chemical garbage. It's natural. Melatonin, things like that. It's a cup of hot chocolate. I warm up a little glass of milk, little coffee cup of milk in the microwave, little Dream powder in there, mix it in, cup of hot chocolate, out like a baby. You want to sleep like that every single night? Shopbeam.com/Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams.
The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I know we're all distracted right now by the incoming administration and AG here and things there, but there are little things, like the economy that still matters more than really everything else. We got word yesterday inflation rose to 2.6%. That is obviously not good. Budget deficit jumped to $257 billion. And that's not annual. That was October. So clearly things are not going all that well. We figure we should probably figure out what's going on, bringing in Peter St. Ange of the wonderful Heritage Foundation. Okay, Peter, I was trying to go through some economic numbers over the past couple of days to see where we're at. And to be frank, they're horrifying. But tell me if I'm reading this wrong.
No, I think you're absolutely right. So, you know, the Fed is in a position where jobs are falling, inflation is rising again. You know, inflation was supposed to be transitory, right? We're on, going on 53 months of rising core inflation. I think we're about 40 months where core inflation has been over 3%. So that was transitory. Where the Fed is right now is that, in theory, what the Fed's supposed to do is to balance out economic growth and inflation. Now, a cynic might say that, of course, because they create inflation and because they create recessions, you know, they're like a gasoline thief who just tries to siphon it off 1 gallon at a time. So, you know, they kind of try to keep them both out of the headlines. The problem is that right now where we are is that in this economy, which is still Joe Biden's economy, unfortunately, inflation is rising and jobs are falling, which is not supposed to happen. So the Fed is a deer in the headlights. They don't know what to do next. When Donald Trump was elected, one of the first things that happened was bonds rose. So yields rose, which suggests that the Federal Reserve is going to have to hike rates. And, you know, it could be maybe because the Fed doesn't really want to play ball. They figure that Trump is going to catch the blame for any jobs crash. And so they figure, all right, let's just pay attention to inflation because there people are blaming it for it. But they are, in a way, handing Trump a turd of an economy. That was Ed Dowd's phrasing, basically clearing up, you know, all these things that they've been hiding for the past year to try to get through the election. Well, at this point, you can just let it all rip, lay it all out in the open. And you know that New York Times is going to say that's all Trump's economy, that they're going to blame it all on him.
Peter, I know this is not your particular area we talk about a lot, but I am curious that there's cause and effect to everything. If mass deportation is something that Trump goes forward with, and it certainly looks like he intends to do so, in fact, you can basically bank on it now, is that going to be, I know in the long run that's an economic benefit for Americans, but in the short term, are we going to take it on the chin in one way or another? I know that kind of massive economic dislocation can really mess things up.
Yeah, so there are two really big benefits to it. And you're right, it's a massive long-term benefit, there's no question. But if we're talking about the short run, there are two big benefits to it, which is that we don't have to spend all this money on migrants. So currently we spend something like $150 to $350 billion a year on them. That, of course, has to come out of debt nowadays. The other big benefit is that you free up something like 5 or 10 million houses, right? So housing prices almost immediately go down, rents go down. The bad part is that when Americans take those jobs, right, when the immigrants go home and they're not at the, you know, chicken factories and they're not mowing lawns, when Americans take those jobs, Americans will not work for peanuts, right? They're going to want a higher wage. So that, yes, is going to feed through to higher prices unless we lay off enough federal workers that you then have a labor surplus, which trickles down. Now, you're not necessarily going to see bureaucrats mowing lawns, although I would love to see that. But if you suddenly have a bunch of released workers who were producing absolutely nothing, if you release them out, then that is going to cancel out even that effect. So personally, that's what I want. I want to send everybody home who's here illegally and fire millions of federal workers so they can take the jobs.
Are you sure we can't have bureaucrats mowing lawns and cleaning toilets, Peter? Because that's really, really something I would like to see.
I got to admit.
All right, speaking of the Fed, Jerome Powell was sounding a little defiant, if you will. Here he was.
Hi, Victoria Guida with Politico. Some of the president-elect's advisors have suggested that you should resign. If he asked you to leave, would you go?
No.
Can you follow up on, do you think that legally you're not required to leave?
No.
Peter, what do you make of all that?
He thinks we work for him. Okay, so Trump can demote him. He can demote him to a regular board member. He's got one vote out of seven. However, you can't do that until there's an opening on the board, which is early 2026. Powell's term is up in mid-2026. There may not be that much point. Congress can pack the Fed, which would be good fun. Of course, they could also just end the Fed. That's the other easy solution to this problem. But really, the wider question here is, yes, statutorily, the president cannot fire the head of the Fed. And the question is, why is that the case? Right. So if the Fed is not answering to the president, that means he's not answering to voters. He's not answering the voters. Who on earth is he answering to? Is it the bankers? Right. So it's true that the president cannot fire, say, a Supreme Court justice, but that is because that is one of the three branches of government in the Constitution. In this case, this guy is sheltered from the representatives of voters, and he's working for an organization, the Federal Reserve, which, first of all, it's a private organization. Secondly, it is certainly not constitutional. There is no delegation anywhere in the Constitution. In fact, the only mention in the Constitution of money is that the government is allowed to buy bullion, like bars of gold, and then turn those into coins and sell those. That is the only monetary role of the government. They can do that if they want. Aside from that, his organization is entirely unconstitutional.
Yeah, imagine having a currency backed by gold. Wouldn't that be something? Okay, how quickly can Donald Trump, if he does have a turd of an economy, as you said, how quickly can he get something rolling? We know we're going to have a better energy policy. We already talked about the illegal immigration aspect of this. We know we're going to get some deregulation. How quickly can we expect things to get moving again?
Yeah, so if we look at Trump 1.0, he knows the exact ingredient how to do it, right? You get energy production up, drill, baby, drill. You do tax cuts so that people have a reason to produce. People go back to work. People come out of the sidelines. They go back, find a job, start a business, and deregulation. So people are actually allowed to go out there and build a business, to invest. So we know the exact recipe. We know that Trump wants to do all those things. The people he's floating for Treasury Secretary, for example, is kind of a clue on what his priorities are. And people like Bessent are just absolutely fantastic when it comes to those. They know the exact recipe. The problem is, are we already in recession? Are we on the edge of recession? Are we already in recession? Remember that when the government announces recessions, they typically do it about a year after they begin, right? The Fed just did this jumbo rate cut a couple of months ago. It only does that when we're in recessions. It has never, ever done that when the economy is doing just fine. So there are a lot of indicators. We can look at the jobs numbers, the GDP numbers, the inflation numbers at this point. There's a lot of indicators that we may already be in recession. If that's the case, Trump is being dropped onto a treadmill that is already going like 10 miles an hour. He's going to run just to try to keep us out of recession. He knows how to do it, but can he outrun the recession?
Okay, what do you make of this Elon Musk, Vivek, Department of Government Efficiency? As somebody who's wanted to fire virtually every government employee for the entirety of my adult life, I love the idea of it. What can they do? How hopeful should we be of this? What do you think of it, Peter?
I think it is fantastic that we are even having the discussion in the first place. The way that they structured it is like a libertarian's dream. So this thing is going to run until, July 4th, 2026, 250th anniversary of the Republic. and then it's going to fold shop. So Musk has promised he thinks he can cut $2 trillion out of our current budget, which is about $6.5 trillion. I think that is absolutely doable. The GAO, which is like the governor, the government's accountant, they already say that there's up to $500 billion in waste and fraud that they know about. You cut the money to Ukraine, the foreign wars, the foreign aid, the illegals. It's probably another trillion you put all that together. You end welfare to the able-bodied, which is deeply unpopular, but it somehow manages to happen. You got another $500 billion there. You just do those three things, you're already at $2 trillion. But you can zoom out from that, right? So Trump constitutionally has the authority to fire 97% of federal bureaucrats, 2.9 million out of 3 million of them, if he wants. Moreover, if you look back at the Constitution, right? So the 10th Amendment, only the stuff that is listed in the Constitution, delegated powers, that's the only things the federal government is allowed to do. Everything else is illegal. It's unconstitutional. So that's approximately four agencies out of 400, all right? Justice, State, Defense, Treasury. Everything else is illegal. So in my dream world, you cut out all those agencies. You probably got to keep Social Security and Medicare because people have already paid for those. I think that's a special case. That's more complicated. Near term, if you keep just those four agencies, you keep Social Security and Medicare, you're talking about maybe $2.5 trillion. That will be $4 trillion in cuts. At that point, we would be running a $2 trillion surplus. We would pay off the national debt in, 18 years. So I think it is absolutely doable. The question is, does Congress play along? And there, we've got different models in the past. We have the base realignment committee back in the 90s when, we had too many military bases and the Republicans and the Democrats got together and did something sane. So some of that is going to need Congress on it, but the vast majority of it, including firing the bureaucrats, that's all Trump.
Oh, my heart be still. Peter, my brother, thank you so much. Come back soon. Let's hope. Slash it all, baby. Slash it all. All right. It's time to lighten the mood. Next.
Hey there. I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it's time to lighten the mood. And I will tell you, I like my country. I like how we handle our business. Obviously, we talk about the problems, but I like how we handle our business here. Until I saw this video from New Zealand and how their lawmakers, how they responded to a bill they didn't like. And I don't know whether or not the bill was good. I couldn't understand anything anyone's saying, but gosh, this looks sweet.
Yeah. The House is suspended until the ringing of the bells.
That was a lot. That was awesome. I'll see you tomorrow.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.